Hi, welcome to the Business Link. I'm Jason Ball, President and CEO of the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce, and we are here in the Chamber's offices in the AOI podcast studio. I am so excited to be joined today by Peter Hind, our new Director for Urban Development. Peter, welcome to the Chamber.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for making the time for this. You know, for folks that maybe haven't had an opportunity to meet you or hear from you yet, can you give just a little bit of information about your professional background? Because you've got a great story about your business in Lincoln.
Yeah, sure. I moved here after meeting a girl from Lincoln walking down the street in Mexico.
Yeah.
And
as one does.
As one does, yes. And we met and dated on long distance for 2 years. Yeah. And when she said, I'm going back to law school in Nebraska, I said, good luck. And a month later said, well, I could go to Nebraska too, and moved here. And not long after, she said, you know, you'd be a great architect. And I went to UNL. I walked through the architecture college and I signed up the next day. Didn't really know how to spell architect, but knew that it was something that I could do. So I grew up in Bermuda, came to Lincoln and just fell in love with the community, fell in love with UNL, and got my undergrad and my master's degree here, and then went on to become a licensed architect, worked for various firms, had my own firm, was a professor at the university, and then landed in the director position at Urban Development.
Yeah, 30 years
later.
What a great story to tell about boy meets girl and ends up in Lincoln. I love stories that end that way.
Three kids later.
Yeah.
It's been a wonderful journey, and I married up, which is always good advice. It's been a real blessing to be here and be part of the community and learn and grow and see the community grow as well and become more vibrant. It's been great.
Now, entrepreneurship is one of the additional programs we have here and through the Lincoln Partnership for Economic Development with the city. You know, I just wanted to highlight, you've founded an architecture company as part of your past history.
Two. I was working for a large firm in Omaha and had a friend in Lincoln, and we started Studio 951 that is still going strong and sold to a larger firm. And we had a really great run. At that time, I got hired as a full-time professor at the university. And so I felt that being a full-time practitioner and a full-time professor and having a large staff and everything else, it just seemed like a good time for me to focus on teaching.
Yeah.
And when I did that, I promptly missed practice and decided that I wanted to also do practice while I was teaching, but at a smaller scale, so found Architects, which goes back to one of my professors I had while studying in London, who always said that design is like archaeology. You have to find the design.
Yeah.
And so that's where that name came from.
Yeah.
So it's been great.
I love it. Well, and so you've had a great career here in the private sector. What motivated you to move into city government?
Well, I'll kind of go backwards into that. You know, I was asked, I was on the board of the historic Haymarket years ago, and a professor, and I was asked to be on the selection committee for the arena and for the architect and for the developer, and saw that idea of, hey, let's move some tracks over and grab this land and do a really wonderful development in the West Haymarket. And so it got me interested in urbanism, and when I taught at the university, I took students to Chicago. We did projects in downtown Lincoln, looking at kind of the urban fabric and how the built environment impacts us. Went through practice, I was working at a firm in Lincoln, and part of my job was to sort of grow our Lincoln presence, and one of those things was to do work with the city.
Yeah.
So we were working on a fire station with the city and got to interact with the current mayor, and she asked me if I'd be interested in doing this position and taking over the reins at Urban Development, and thought about it, and the last thing she said to me was, I'm asking you to help us design a city, and that just sounded really exciting to think about a much, much larger scale, and wanted to give back, wanted to see things from a different view, and I said yes.
if you want to get an architect's attention, ask him to design something, right?
Exactly.
As big as a whole city.
Exactly. Yeah. And also not have all the answers. I think what I was impressed with was from the mayor was the idea that it was a team, mm-hmm. that they were working together and trying to build a coalition of people that were really looking at the city creatively. And I just knew I could jump into that.
Yeah. Well, you've got a great story about making that transition, and I'm glad you're able to share it here today. You know, as you came into the role, what would you say are your priorities that you're hoping to bring to the work?
So I think I would say there's probably two things. One is, and they're related but separate. So the first is metrics, mm-hmm. Being able to measure what we're doing. Occasionally I'll say, well, how many, you know, of those things have we done, or how many houses have we improved? And we couldn't always answer those quickly. We had the answers, we had the numbers, but I want it to be in the forefront that what we're doing, because urban development isn't just, new greenfield development or infill development downtown. We do lead abatement, we do home loans, we do grants. There's a lot we do that are varied. And I want us to be able to measure what we're doing and sort of look at the impact. Following with that is something that I brought. I keep saying I want to have a t-shirt that says it, and that is collateral benefit. Mm-hmm. So as we're doing a project, if we're, there's a thought in architecture that if you're designing a house, you think about the doorknob, then the door, then the front porch, mm-hmm. the stairs to the porch, the path to the porch, the sidewalk, the road, the city, and so on. And so as we're doing a building in the downtown, if, you know, thinking about the alley, thinking about safety, pedestrian improvement, how do you get in and out of the building from the public space? Where's the closest park? Yeah. So thinking about how our work can then benefit others and benefit other projects and tag along with those. There's been some really wonderful projects in Lincoln that think about elderly living and mm-hmm. then people getting educated to care for those folks and combining them together. If you think of those, you know, you could tell 20 stories like that in different realms. And so thinking of the range of our work from industrial to housing, elderly housing, and then not-for-profits, we have that range that allows us to think of collaborating mm-hmm. and putting things together that you wouldn't always think of.
You know, and you're alluding to the next question I want to make sure we talked about today is urban development is a huge department. It touches so much in the whole city, not just in the city core downtown, if you will. It's across the whole city. Can you expand on that? You've shared a few of the programs.
Yeah, I can. It's a huge department with 23 people. It's really our reach and the diversity of what we do. So, you know, if most people know us for doing tax increment financing and redevelopment projects. So that's something we do. What people don't always realize in that is we might do $1 million project mm-hmm. or $2 million project with $200,000 to $300,000 of TIF, mm-hmm. you know, a 12 unit project, an 8 unit project, a relatively small project compared to the 220 unit project. That's, you know, $50, $60 million. So that range is something that we pride ourselves on. We also do projects that are more industrial in nature. Mm-hmm. So thinking about the range of what we do and how TIF is used is really important. Equally in our department, we're managing a lead mitigation grant for families at 80% AMI or below with children that are 6 and below. Mm-hmm. So we go in, we have a team that it's partnership with the health department. So the health department might do a simple blood test, come back that there's a high level of lead in the child. We'll go in and test the house, find out where the lead is. It's a federal grant, so we're working with the federal government on that testing. We then hire contractors that have to be certified to do the work, and there's not many. I think that we have 3 or 4 that are certified to do the work. And then we go in and do the repairs, do the mitigation, and then move the people out, do all the mitigation, clean up, and then move them back again. Yeah. It's really a wonderful program. We also have CDBG grants and home grants that we give, and then home loans. We also have been managing the emergency rental assistance. So people during COVID that were getting evicted, we have two folks that are managing that, going to court every day, meeting with people. And that's a wonderful program because it benefits both the building owner and the tenants.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a synergy that happens there. And hopefully we can find more permanent funding, whether it's the federal level or state level, to keep that type of project going, because it's really important to do that. We have somebody that makes sure we're not trampling on endangered species in our office. So there really is a lot that we do, both with federal grants, local grants, city. And then we also, excuse me, have a south of downtown rental assistance program that is, it's taking the naturally occurring TIF. We use that those funds to then grant to building owners to improve the quality of that housing.
Yeah.
So we do a lot.
Yeah. Let's talk housing some more. There's a whole lot of work that you've been doing related to affordable housing, or some people prefer accessible housing or workforce housing.
Attainable housing.
Whatever term it is. But Lincoln needs more rooftops. We've written this into our strategic plan. The city's been a leader in it. We're working with a whole lot of other nonprofit organizations in town. Can you characterize the approach that the city's taking, or share some examples that you're excited about related to housing specifically?
Yeah, I think, we have a coordinated action plan for housing, and I think there's been a lot of really good thought in that and a lot of good research. One of the things we learned through that process was it is numbers. It is certainly having more rooftops, as you say, or more units, but it's also improving the quality of what's existing. So there are affordable places to live in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. The question is what's their quality?
Yeah.
And so that's why I mentioned the south of downtown grant area, that it's a very defined area. We know what the issues are because we heard them from both the building owners and the tenants.
Yeah.
Slightly different ways of describing it. And so, last year we did 107 units. This year we've just opened up that round again for people to apply. Many of the buildings were over 100 years old that we're improving because they had the highest need. So that's one way we're looking at it. We're looking at expanding that program to another area in Lincoln. More on that later.
Yeah.
More to come.
Yeah.
We also, in TIF, we have a relatively new requirement that if you're doing a TIF project that has housing in it, that depending on the level of blight, whether it's extreme blight or blight, 15 years or 20 years, you have to do 10 or 20% of the home or of the units to be affordable.
Yeah.
So if you're in a 15-year TIF blighted area using TIF, you have to make 10% of the units affordable. We do also have what's called an in lieu of payment. So if you find that the project, for whatever reason, or if the developer doesn't want to engage in this, they'll actually pay us a check that we calculate that we're working on sort of updating that those numbers and those levels. And then that goes into an affordable housing fund that we then use to support other projects around the city. And so two projects that I'll just quickly mention. We have one central at South Haymarket. That's 172 units. It's between 9th and 10th on N Street. So if you think of the collateral benefit concept, there's a bike path that runs right down N Street that's going to go right into a new South Haymarket Park, connecting, theoretically or figuratively, Telegraph District with the Haymarket. So there's these nodes in Lincoln that are now starting to be connected by, obviously cars and buses and vehicles, but also pedestrians and bicycles and scooters and skateboarders and whatever. And so that this project is going to place 172 all affordable units right on that bike path, using parking that the city owns a block away. So there's some really good synergies that are happening. It's a beautiful building by BVH Architecture. And then the other one is Center Terrace, that is 13th Street and D-ish. And that is a quite dense project, 125 units, sort of inserting energy and affordability within a neighborhood that I think is going to be the scale. While if you look at it sort of on a large scale, you might say, wow, that building's really big. But the architects, Allie Pointer from Omaha, have, and the developer, have been very skilled at making the building appear as three different buildings. So it brings the scale down for the neighborhood. Yeah. That also has a clinic, not-for-profit clinic on the main floor that's going to serve the neighborhood. So they saw the ability to sort of co-mingle these things and see the benefits of that as well. Yeah. So that's just two projects we have. We also have Epworth Church. If I'm going to be true to my desire to think of the change or the range of scales of projects, that's 12 units with a daycare in it. It's a former church. It's a really beautiful project. You know, it's around $3 million. So not a massive project, but a massive project for the neighborhood to improve and infuse life into that place that was empty.
Which also hits on early childhood education, which is also part of the strategic plan and needs in the business community.
Exactly.
So collateral impact again.
And the ability, you know, for a young family to be able to drop their child off at daycare, go to work, come back, and know that it might be across the hall or down the street or around the corner is really an important thing. I think another thing that I think I want to bring to urban development is the idea that architecture, built environment, ultimately it's for us, right? It's for people.
Yeah.
And if we're all confronted by the built environment, we're all confronted by, especially when it's 2 degrees outside,
we
want to be inside sometimes, or when it's 110. With that being said, you know, thinking of a shade tree in an urban environment and the difference between that environment in the shade versus being in the bright sunshine, depending on the time of year, you really need to have those. So thinking about how we overlap with those. Sorry about that. I think housing isn't just units. I think it's the quality of the housing, the impact it has between other amenities within the city are really important.
Yeah. Two more things that I want to mention here before we wrap up today. One, we mentioned the South Haymarket Park briefly. You know, we're very excited about that. I'm working with the fundraising committee on that as well. You know, what can you tell us about the progress on the South Haymarket Park?
Well, no schematic design is happening. We did get a gift that made it so the park is now going to go all the way to 7th Street and sort of capture the corner. So when you come into the south of Haymarket and you come into that area, you're going to be confronted with a park, which is going to be, you know, taking brownfield, that's the mitigation is happening right now, and seeing the accessibility of that, the diversity of uses in the park. There's a skate park, there's trees, there's shade, there's a dog run, there's all kinds of things. And I then think of what's going to happen after the park is built. Mm-hmm. And so what's going to happen on the edges, the buildings, there's some beautiful historic buildings there, and there's some beautiful opportunity for new construction. So there's going to be a lot to come on that.
Yeah.
We're really thinking currently, we're in a practice in our office with our parking department to think about how the street is used for parking and access. We have, you know, 8N, a lot of students parking in there now.
Yeah.
And that's only going to increase over the next, you know, 4 to 5 years. So,
yeah. Well, we're so excited about it. It's going to be a beautiful community asset, another mark of success for the whole West Haymarket expansion and arena.
Absolutely.
Some real vision coming to fruition there. And then I wanted to ask very quickly about the old Pershing site. You know, we've done the demo of the building. We've got a site ready. You know, what can you share with us about what's planned there?
Yeah, we just had an update with the developer a couple of weeks ago. They're going to be developing, finishing their permit drawings for the first building that's going to be on the east side. I'm forgetting how many units it is, but I think it's 165 units with ground floor commercial. And it's a wonderful building. It's in the Capital Environs District, so the materials are right. It's really exciting to see how the infusion of that's going to be in the area. And then we'll see what's going to happen to the west of that site coming down the future here.
Yeah. Yeah, new development that has been, I think, a long time coming on the Pershing building.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is understandable. It's a big project. It's a big building. It's an important part of our downtown. We want to be thoughtful about it. So
I think
exciting to see that moving.
Yeah, I think it's important to really be thoughtful about the mall and how buildings interface with it. And for people to have the long view of development in Lincoln, there's a lot happening.
Yeah. Well, Peter, I appreciate your time today. You know, for folks that want to see and learn more about what the city is doing, you can find urban development through the city's website.
Absolutely.
And so just a short Google will get you there. There's a lot of great information on the website. I think the city does a great job in, you know, providing some updates on this. And of course, for more podcasts like this, you can find everything that we're producing here at lcoc.com on our news and information page. Of course, we are here in the AOI podcast studio. Peter Hine, Director of Urban Development, thank you so much for joining us today.
Jason, thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll see you next time.